Please open your Bibles with me to the New Testament. Please find the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. And as we begin to think about our next section in Paul's letter, in a world that seeks to shut down God's gospel, in a world where believers can often feel frightened, in a life of faith that will attract all sorts of conflict and tension, what should we be doing to help contend effectively with the pagan culture that we find ourselves in? Is it enough to say that in addition to our Bible reading and quiet times, that we are part of a church rota, that we like being involved in a leaflet drop? Are things like this going to help us contend in a world that despises Jesus Christ, his gospel, his church? Well, while these things are good, being part of a church rota is good, supplementing our quiet times and Bible reading with good Christian literature, that is a helpful thing to do. So yes, whilst these things are good, whilst these things are helpful, whilst these things do have the potential for great blessing, in the overall context of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the Apostle Paul is going to show his listeners that unless the church is united, unless the believers are together, then it's going to be impossible for them to effectively contend with those who hate Jesus, his gospel, his church. You see, while it's a way off from where we are right now in Paul's letter, in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is going to warn about those who believe that it is fine to live outside the law of God, his gospel, his will. The Apostle Paul is going to warn about those who believe that religious rituals are the right way to get to God. Meanwhile, in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul will appeal to two women in the church who are, for whatever reason, unable to resolve the dispute that they find themselves to be in. And while we cannot be too sure of all the details that surround these false teachers and those women, both issues must have been significant in the life of the church, because Paul has already mentioned the issue of unity in chapter 1 and verse 27. Do we remember? In chapter 1 and verse 27, can you see it there in your Bibles? Paul tells the church, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." And as we take stock for a moment or two, is Paul's concern landing with effect in our minds and hearts? If the church in Philippi cannot be united in Christ's gospel, if the church in Fulling Mill Lane cannot be united in Christ's gospel, then what hope does the church have when it comes to contending with the pagan culture that she finds herself in? And with all this in mind, Paul uses Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4 to teach about conduct that helps the church thrive in a pagan culture. Now, catching up, in case you've missed out at other times, our long-term series in Philippians comes out of the middle of the first century, more or less. And it's traditionally held that on account of his Christian faith, the Apostle Paul is under house arrest in Rome when he writes to the church at Philippi in Greece. And as chapter 1 came to an end, we noticed how Paul's focus narrows for the sake of the church. In addition to standing firm in one spirit and striving side by side for the sake of Jesus Christ and his gospel, the church must not be afraid of those who hate Christ's gospel. Rather, and this is humbling, just as a Christian's suffering for Jesus proves that they are on the right side, likewise, their faith condemns their opponents. And deep down, their opponents know this. The faith that is being displayed by those faithful ones at Philippi, it is a clear sign to the opposition that they are to be destroyed, barring a saving work of grace in their lives. But if the church at Philippi is to hold out in the right way for Christ, if the church in that mini version of Rome was to be a light on a hill for the glory of Jesus Christ, then there must be unity within the body. There must be unity inside the church if she is to be effective in the day and age in which she is found. If the early church at Philippi wants to demonstrate a consistent witness for Christ to the outside world, it must be united on the inside. And we see this amplified in our first verse for this evening. Can you see it there? Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, please follow. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, or complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. So, what does the Apostle Paul mean by all of this? Well, at verse 1, where Paul uses the phrase, so if, it's not that the Apostle Paul doubts what he is saying or describing to the church at Philippi. Rather, Paul is telling the Christians at Philippi to think carefully. And the first thing for the church to think about is its encouragement or its salvation in Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul wants the Christians at Philippi to spend time thinking about the strength and confidence that comes from being saved by Jesus and his precious work on the cross. And then as verse 1 moves forward, as we come to the phrase comfort from love, can you see it there? Paul wants the church at Philippi to reflect on the comfort that comes from Christ's saving work on the cross. Getting into this bit, and amongst other things, Paul wants the church at Philippi to consider the peace and the security that comes from the only living God who chose his people before time began, before the earth was founded. Paul wants the church at Philippi to be comforted by God's divine foreknowledge of his chosen people. And as we move along to our third point now, did we notice the ongoing overflow of God's amazing grace? As we come to the third blessing in our opening verse, for this evening, Paul reminds the Christians at Philippi about their participation in the Holy Spirit. Said with different words, the Apostle Paul wants the constituents of the church to remember that with the Holy Spirit dwelling by grace in each of them, they now share a common life in Christ, a partnership in Christ, a mutual bond in Christ, which is all about living for Christ and his gospel. And as verse 1 comes to an end, so the church at Philippi is to think about affection and sympathy. Or, as we explain this, the brothers and sisters are to adopt a mode of deep and tender care for each other. The point being that if this teaching by the Apostle Paul is a reality for the Christians at Philippi, and the Apostle Paul assumes that it is, then at verse 2, Paul tells the church to encourage him by doing everything that it can to safeguard this unity. Verse 2 again, as we think about protecting this internal unity in the church at Philippi, Paul writes, verse 2, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Now quickly here, when Paul speaks about being of the same mind, does this mean that Paul wants the church in Philippi to be full of people who have the same opinion on secondary matters? Well, no. But for example, if the church's oven at Philippi needs to be replaced, must there be unity on the brand? But not necessarily. Let's trust the deacons in the church to deal with the oven at Philippi. And staying in the church kitchen just a little bit longer, must there be unity when it comes to how the dishwasher is loaded? I know that the dishwasher can be a point of contention at home. So it's tricky ground in one way, but must there be unity in how the dishwasher is loaded after the Philippians have shared a fellowship lunch with each other? Well, if the items are being cleaned, it probably doesn't matter how the dishwasher is being loaded. Not really. Rather, when it comes to being of the same mind, the Apostle Paul, he is thinking about loftier things. The Apostle Paul is pointing the church at Philippi to the mind of Jesus Christ. Something we shall, God willing, explicitly see next time we are together in this letter. But in the warm-up, if you like, here, let's be clear that as Paul gets into this teaching, as he starts to build his case in this section, the Apostle Paul is pointing the church to a state of mind and heart that seeks to put others first in godly ways. And as we reach the three-quarter mark at verse 2, we notice that the believers are to have, quote, the same love. That getting into this statement, just as Jesus Christ has shown his people extensive love in an equal way, just as Christ's blood is appropriate for a sinner wherever they come from, whatever their background might be, whatever they have done in their lives. So the Apostle Paul, he longs to see the church at Philippi demonstrating the same thing. Rather than showing favoritism to our besties or members of our own family, the church is to cultivate a united, selfless, and Christ-like affection for all the church, for all believers. So that those who are participating in the Spirit dwelling richly in us by faith, those who participate in the Spirit, we won't mind who sits down next to us on a Sunday morning. Those participating in the Spirit, we won't mind who joins us in the church hall during fellowship lunch. Those participating in the Spirit will warmly welcome those in the body who are obvious loners and fringe dwellers. Yes, the church shall be, end of verse 2, in full accord. She shall be united. She shall be of one mind. Because if she isn't, if there are cracks at base level, how will the church confidently contend with the pagan culture that she finds herself in 2,000 years ago or 2026? What I mean is that if the church is pitching and yawing internally, the church will re-enter the world of work, paid or unpaid, on a Monday morning with its head and heart totally gone, head and heart in a mess. The light of Christ won't be seen in us. It will be buried somewhere in that flawed robe. Now, as we pause for a breather here, if we are feeling overloaded by Paul, I'm with you in this. My mind and heart are at saturation point also as we submit ourselves to the authority of God's living word. However, just as the false teachers had forgotten the mind and heart of Christ, just as the disputing sisters had forgotten the mind and heart of Christ, we too are quick to forget the encouragement that we have received by faith in Jesus Christ. We are quick to forget that we are participants in the spirit of life that changes and saves. Forgetting what we have in Christ now, and forgetting what we will have in the life to come, forgetting everything that Christ has given to us by his blood shed on the cross, we are, on occasions, quick to draw and fire, figuratively speaking, rather than thinking with the mind of Christ. We are quick to speak and criticize during a meeting where we don't know all the facts. We are quick to press send before 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. And on that same subject of emails, we can be quick to forget a proper greeting and a proper goodbye. Instead, we just let our disgruntlement flow out over the page. We are quick to forget an affectionate and sympathetic heart in person over the phone. We are quick on occasions to think suspiciously and perceive a threat from a brother or a sister where no threat exists. We are quick to find a negative rather than building up with a positive. And because of our fallible nature, the Apostle Paul is compelled by the Holy Spirit to keep driving home the same teaching point at this section of his letter. And he does so with different words, but the point is still being made. Can we see this at verse 3 now? Please look at it with me. Paul tells Christians at Philippi, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Getting into this, even though it does pinch some more, the Christians at Philippi are to apply themselves when it comes to working collaboratively. The Christians at Philippi are to work hard at not thinking or saying my way or the highway. And these are great principles for the church in Fulling Mill Lane to remember when we are planning something in church life, everything from evangelism through to infrastructure. Yes, using the words of Scripture, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility and like Jesus Christ stretched out on that cross, count others more significant than yourselves. Now, as we reflect on this, let's be clear, brothers and sisters, it's not that the Apostle Paul is telling Christians at Philippi to lie down like a doormat that says, "You're welcome. Walk all over me." Rather, what Paul means here is that the Christians who form the church, regardless of skills or qualifications, they are to intentionally look out for others and at that point in time, whatever the issue might be, make their comfort and their ease their main goal. We are to go out of our way to preserve and prosper a frictionless relationship, whatever that relationship might be forming up around. An interpretation of the text that then feeds into our last verse for this evening, verse 4, can you see it? Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. What a great piece of teaching by the Apostle Paul. Pithy, it's to the point, it sums up what we're trying to communicate with each other. Just as we look out for our own walk before the Lord, so we're checking ourselves before his gospel and trying to form ourselves up in accordance with his truth, as we use the gifts and the skills that he's blessed us with for his glory and for the benefit of his people and maybe the wider world at some point, let's think about that walk and how it impacts others around us in the body. Are we building up or are we tearing down? Are we going out of our way to make sure our brothers and sisters are blessed by frictionless relationships? Or are we stoking the fire as fast as we can? Stepping back and surveying all that we've covered for this evening, we said that in the overall context of this letter, this evening's section is part of a bigger picture that Paul is gradually building towards. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, Paul is driving hard the issue of internal unity in the church so that the church can confidently contend with the pagan culture that she finds herself to be in. If there are cracks at base, the church of Christ will not be fit to stand as a viable witness to the world. The church, the constituents in the church, will go off to our various front lines Monday and following, and our headspace for the Lord, it will be skewered. It will be off to one side. It won't be true. It won't be lined up with that truth that we love and delight in. And our witness, well, it just won't be effective in the day and age that we find ourselves to be in, because our minds and hearts are being run ragged by what's been happening internally in the church. Conversely, if the church works hard to adopt the mind of Christ through the power and the good offices of the Holy Spirit, if we are seeking to do this in every aspect of our walk before the Lord and in our fellowship with one another, well, not only will the body's harmony and unity and togetherness be a sweet blessing to our various members, that unity in the gospel, that conduct which speaks plainly and royally of Jesus Christ, these things combined, these things together will make the church in Fulling Mill Lane a solid unit that is ready to contend with the pagan culture that we find ourselves in this village in 2026. And I don't know about you, but reflecting on my experiences from the week that's just gone, how this village needs a faithful church whose mind and heart is set intensively on Jesus Christ and his gospel. If our time together only leads to increased tension and disagreement in different directions, that is what we're going to present to the residents of this village. Consciously or subconsciously, these things will leak out by what we say, how we look, the way we carry ourselves down the road here through the village. If we're fighting with each other over different things, if we're out of fellowship with each other, and in some cases we are. If this is us, this will leak out in various ways to those who are around us. And as we think of those who are around us, are we seeing how serious this is? Those around us, that's those people who say no to us before our spiel for the Lord Jesus Christ even begins.
through a closed window?
No. Not even interested in what we might have to say. That's the residents who say no. The moment we mention, well, in evangelical, that word seems to short-circuit the mind. The moment we mention the church we're from, no. And then there's those residents that don't even come to the door or the closed window. Yes, this week, not just for me, but for people here and in times past, these weeks of summer outreach, these are salutary reminders to us that there are many in this village who are, and this is tragic, they are currently dead in their trespasses and their sins. Does that break your heart? That should melt you as you think on their eternal destiny. And right now, were they to meet the Lord tonight, without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, their destiny is hell fire forever. And if this situation doesn't move us to reform our ways for the Lord, I'm not sure what will. In case we haven't got this, we cannot render an effective witness for Jesus if we are ungraciously locking onto each other or avoiding each other because of selfishness and conceit. We won't be sharp for the Lord out there if we are draining each other's spirit in here. And so, let's spend time reflecting on these verses and asking the Holy Spirit to go to work and continue to sanctify us and transform us for the glory of our Saviour, the good of His church, and His name and reputation and His gospel in the places that He sends us to Monday to Saturday. In humility, let all of us go out of our way to seek, I mean really go after, gospel unity. Let all of us go out of our way to remember to look out for, yes, our own interests and making sure that we are lined up with the truth that saves, but also help us to go out of our way to look out for the interests of other brothers and sisters who are around us. After all, didn't Jesus do the same for us? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, we're going to come to it, God willing. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Yes, that's right. Jesus put his divine interests to one side, and with our present and eternal interests weighing heavily upon his mind and heart, Jesus faithfully fulfilled his Father's plan of salvation for us. Jesus suffered in excruciating ways so that we might participate in the Spirit and for his honor and his glory be of one mind. Not only to be a blessing to the body inside the church, but to be a steady and effective witness for him as we go outside the church. And may he add his own blessing to his word. Amen.